Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome in. Oh, my God. How are you? Oh, man. I was wrapping up that free podcast, and my brain was on overload. I was like, oh, my God, you need to rest, sir. Put my fucking fat ass head down. Gone. Just like that. Woke up, did not know where I was. I'm not kidding you. I was like, what? How am I? What happened? Where am I? Oh, my God, I'm so scared. But here I am on a jam-packed Big Fraud Wednesday. We wrap this up. We get after the rest of the day. Now, today is crazy, crazy shit, because after I wrap this up at 4 p.m., I've got another second day in a row edition of Who Are These Broadcasters with Christian Blatt on the Who Are These Podcast Facebook page. We're working ahead. This is next week's show. Like, we do it live. We do it live. And then we'll go ahead and publish it, the on-demand version, if you will, next week. So that culminates. That ends. And then right around 6:15, Big Fraud Wednesday finishes. You know, I mean, it's just, where else would you rather be? The whole day, chit-chatting, talking it up, and having a great time. So I'm very, very excited and blessed to be able to do this. Thank you so much for, I hope it's worth your time. That's really all I worry about. Jeremy says, it's so goddamn hot outside today, friends. Yeah, I haven't been outside. I haven't done even a little bit of wandering out. I haven't had to. Pooh Bear's been home to take care of the dogs for me. And she's gone right now, but you might hear a sound adjustment right now. Check, check. Hello, is this on? It was weird for a second there. All right. As we speak, I'm getting started on Big 101.3. My voice tracks are in. You're going to hear Build Me Up Buttercup by the Four Tops. Monday, Monday by the Mamas and the Papas. Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder. Ben Glaze is in the house. Says he cannot wait for the Mr. 10 video review. It's going to be spectacular, my friend. Ben, is it a bad idea or a good idea to mention the information that you shared with me today? Let me know. In the meantime, let's talk about the local story where some guy who's he works for the Marine Corps. And he's like the one where you go when you want to join the Marines. You walk into the recruiting office and that guy's there. And you say, hey, I want to join the Marines. And he goes, hey, no problem. You're in the right place. Come on in and join the Marines. Well, he got done with his job trying to get people to sign up for the Marines. And then he decided that he wanted to break up the day a little bit differently and go around and walk into people's homes and try to kill them. And that's exactly what he did. And this happened right around here just a handful of days ago in the beautiful community of Rockford. And he walked into one house, and the dad's there, and there's a kid, his 11 years old. He goes, hey, how's it going? I'm the Marine recruiter. I hope you don't mind if I stab your daughter. And then just started stabbing the shit out of the kid. Yeah, this actually happened right here. The kid is okay. The guy is fucking out. Well, he's in jail, but here's the long and the short of it. Here's the mug shot. Here's when he's like cleaned up. He looks fantastic. He's so happy. Marine. Now he's going to jail for probably the rest of his life.
Details tonight from a Rockford homeowner who found a stranger standing in his kitchen this past weekend.
It was the first of two home invasions that happened early Saturday morning, less than an hour and a mile apart.
Sorry for the low audio.
Detectives say 24-year-old Ricardo Perez Castillo admitted his plan when he entered the second Rockford area home. He said it was to kill the family inside.
Target 8 investigator Susan Samples reports the first homeowner said that Perez Castillo seemed harmless at first until he warned the resident to be careful and arm himself.
This is Ricardo Perez Castillo graduating as a Marine recruiter in San Diego last summer. Fast forward less than a year to downtown Rockford, where police say the 24-year-old Marine was spotted Friday night amid the city's annual start of summer celebration. Rockford PD confirmed that Perez Castillo had been drinking in the hours before he walked unsteadily through the unlocked side door of a home a little more than a half mile from downtown. It was around 2:10 Saturday morning, and a homeowner here on Oak Street was cleaning up after he and his wife had hosted friends for dinner. He told me he walked into his kitchen and found a man standing at his sink. The homeowner did not want to go on camera, but he did share with me his interaction with Perez Castillo. The homeowner said the Marine did not seem threatening at the time and did not answer when asked who he was and why he was in his home. When asked to leave, the resident said the Marine did so without argument, but stopped at the door. When he again asked Perez Castillo what was going on, the homeowner said the Marine, spewing profanities, said he didn't know what was going on. He then warned the Oak Street resident to be safe, be careful, and arm himself. That's when the homeowner said he slammed the door and called police, who responded immediately with canines and drones, but couldn't have known where Perez Castillo would allegedly hit next, less than a mile to the southwest. Less than an hour after that first incident, shortly before 3 a.m., Kent County deputies were called to a home in the River Bluff subdivision here off Jericho Avenue. Police said Perez Castillo had walked into a home and into a bedroom where two young girls slept and stabbed one of those girls. The girl's screams awakened a homeowner who was able to hold Perez Castillo at gunpoint until police arrived. Deputies say later Perez Castillo
should have shot the fuck out of him.
Theo told them he had planned to kill the entire family. I'm Target 8 investigator Susan Samples.
What a babe, by the way. Look at her.
Castillo remains in jail on a $2 million cash bond. The 11-year-old girl stabbed continues to recover.
God damn. Holy shit. Maureen writes, maybe keep your doors locked. Huh? Rob says he'd be dead if he was black. I don't know, man. I think that the dad had a great opportunity there to do the right thing. Shoot the shit out of him. What the fuck? Chris says, I can't believe this guy is still alive. That is so fucking nuts to me. But you're right. You know, I mean, we lock up. I mean, we're snug as a bug in a rug here. If you even get near my house, it's like I'm warned. Holy shit. That's the old Pellerito / Root security system in place for your old pal EZ. I don't want to take any fucking chances with these goddamn grease balls lurking everywhere. I'm surprised that the first homeowner who interacted with him, didn't get like, hey, what the hell are you doing here? And then,
lame mi palo con tu culo.
What do you mean? Suck my dick with your butt.
Come mis nalgas cuando yo estoy cagando, cabrón.
Yeah, officer. He told me to eat his ass while he's shitting. And then...
Pete la chingada, cabrón.
Yeah, that's right. He's telling me to go fuck myself.
Ya no te voy a dar mis nalgas.
And then he said, no more butthole for you, and left. But now before...
Comes chingo de cagada.
He told me tons of shit, and then...
Tu madre es una puta.
He called my mom a whore. Our pal Ben Glaze has been given some news that I'm sure is not great. He was informed that at the end of this month, he will no longer be affiliated with the radio show or the radio network, the Michigan Sports Network or Michigan, what the fuck, I don't know what it's called. The one that he has been producing for Matt Shepard. So he's on the prowl for the next opportunity. That's one of the things they do in radio. When they announce your firing, they'll say, oh, yeah, I tell you what, Ben Glaze is looking for his next opportunity. That's the way they describe you getting shit canned. So Ben, I think now we have officially two firings under his belt. It's going to take a long time to catch your old pal EZ, Ben. But you know what they say, and I don't know who the they is. One door closes, another door opens. I will bet you any money that you could work at iHeart right now in a similar capacity right now. And I'm going to do my best to make this happen without having to worry about getting up at the ass crack of dawn. So I'm on it, and hopefully we can figure something out fairly quickly. The good news is, here's part of the door opening, because the one door slammed in your face. You got a little time. You're going to do a great job these last handful of days. You'll have a nice, reference there. But at the end of the day, you can still look forward to the fact that these nice people are going to hear minute number two of the Bomedy podcast today. I mean, what a day for you. This happens. And then you've got the Big Fraud Wednesday. I see your clips are all ready to go for Who Are These Free Beers? So you are prepared. We're going to review the Mr. 10 video and then the Bomedy podcast, and off we go. So kind of like a mixed bag for our old pal Ben today. I'm sorry that happened to you, Ben. I'm curious to find out how they told you. Ben told me that they're bringing in someone else who talks more. Look, it's tough in that position, being that you're all in different locations. Obviously, on my show, Ben talks a ton. Ben talks the right amount. So I think it's kind of like you're a fish out of water in that arena. When Bellino was on, you didn't have to worry about it. Oops. I'm wondering why it's not getting cool in here. Wasn't on. With Bellino, all you had to do is expect to get questions like, Ben, what'd you do this weekend? And then we would get these amazing moments that were just fantastic. Some of the most awkward things I've ever heard in my life. Once Shepard got in and Bellino was out, you might have been like, uh-oh, the end is near. But you hung in there. You did okay. Shepard occasionally asking you questions that would sports questions that would make your butthole tight, but you were prepped. I mean, let's think about it. You would get done with your day job and you go and have to record 75 hours of audio that would never be used. You'd have to watch four entire NBA games that you wouldn't be asked about so that you were ready. You were getting about 16 minutes of sleep, all while planning a wedding. Okay, I thought that job sucked. And as soon as I heard what you had to do, Benjamin Glaze, to prepare, I thought, this is fucking horrible. You'd be better off working at Bosco's Pub. You know, you should probably think about coming to work with me at Bosco's. I don't know what time you get off in your day job, but you'd make more money at Bosco's Pub. All right? And all you got to do is do what I tell you. There is no one on the earth better at making French fries than me. And by the way, I just got a pay raise. So I'm making $18 an hour to put French fries in oil. They pay pretty well. So, I'm just throwing this out there. You should consider an afternoon, back half of the day job at Bosco's Pub with your old pal, EZ. You and I would crush it. That would be yet another reason for people to come to the restaurant. We would make food, go out, eat pussy. Make food, go out, eat pussy. It'd be great. I don't know where that came from. I don't plan on eating any pussy. But I just thought it was funny to say there. So, Ben, I throw this out there. This, you got the one door closing, and then the other door open up. Ben says that's as much as I make at the two jobs. Now, you'd start at 17, maybe 18. I don't know. Do you have any kitchen experience? I'm the first person you talk to in this process. So just think about it. We would have so much fucking content, as B&E, the fry guys, Chris describes it. It would be great. And we need somebody. We need another kitchen assistant. Ben says, I don't eat pussy, I eat ass. Even better. These women that come in there, these are horny Hudsonville housewives. All their husbands are prudes who would never consider eating ass. And since you and I both are the ass-eating brothers, we're going to cook some fries and then eat some dirty ass. Some dirty, sweaty, smelly asshole. Our mouths are going to be on those assholes. If you're down for it, $17 an hour minimum to start, maybe more. All right? Let me ask you this, Ben Glaze. What time of the day do you get out of working at the day job? What is the earliest you can get out? Every day. Because this might work out perfectly. I would go over and talk to Fuckface Doug and Fuckface Dougie immediately and say, I got a guy you can train. Nick in the arena, a fucking asshole, writes, he's got the beatus. Of course he has kitchen experience. What does that mean? Okay. You get done at 4. So, but you're no longer getting up at the crack of dawn. So you could be at the restaurant for dinner rush. You would make more working at Bosco's Pub than you were working with the radio station. If you are interested only, that's the first question that has to be answered. If you are interested, I think I can make that happen. Rob bragging about his job. Free health insurance comes with union dues at UPS for part-timers. It's covered hours a day at more than $20 per hour. There's no question that those delivery jobs are awesome. They're a lot of work, though. You know, you better take care of yourself because physically you're going to be grinding. But if you keep your fucking nose to the grindstone and save your do-re-mi, you can probably make some serious hay there. I've heard that about a lot of those jobs. UPS, FedEx. Not so much Amazon, though. I don't hear a lot of great things about Amazon. I hear stories that people, like, work at Amazon, and then they want to kill themselves. By the way, Ben, if you do work there, then you get the opportunity to work with your old pal EZ. And that's the best part of this. Most people would do that for free. All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Okay, this is Christian Kleingens. This guy right here. This, I had him on the air right when the election was happening to recall Lucy Ebel. Remember Lucy Ebel? She's one of those Ottawa Impact fucks. And that sick bitch, she got recalled. The recall election, this guy won. He was on my show. He's part of this group of people that are trying to, well, he's just a normal dude. And he ran in the recall election and he won the goddamn thing. He also works for Michigan State University. But not anymore. He was fired in what appears to be a politically motivated firing. And it has everything to do with Ottawa Impact. Let me just read to you what it says. Newly elected Democrat to the Ottawa board has been terminated from his government job due to political pressure, his attorney says. Kleingens won over Lucy Ebel. He was fired from his job as an MSU Extension community nutrition instructor on June 4th. I'm not sure what MSU Extension is. But he's the guy who's teaching people to eat right. And he's employed through Michigan State University. The MSU Extension said that him being a county commissioner would conflict with his job. And he's like, no, it won't. What are you talking about? Now, it should also be noted that Ottawa County gives $421,000 every year to MSU Extension, and the service operates an office in Ottawa County. So let's do the math. Gee, I wonder what happened. I know what happened. These sick sons of bitches with their revenge politics strong-armed MSU Extension to fire this guy because he just was elected and ousted one of the members of Ottawa Impact. That's what fucking just happened. Okay. Kleingens' attorney says just that. Had to do with political pressure from Kleingen's opponents rather than a legitimate conflict of interest. The lawyer wrote a letter on June 13th to Jessica Nackfor, MSU Extension Director of Human Resources, to ask for Kleingen's reinstatement. She also suggested legal action would follow if he is not reinstated. Open and shut case. Easily. Uh, Sarah Howard, the attorney for Kleinjans, in the letter suggested that pressure from Joe Moss and Commissioner Allison Miedema played a role in Kleinjans' job loss. Moss and Miedema are both part of Ottawa Impact. Now, I would love if she could prove that. If she can prove that, then they are in trouble, those two fuck faces, and MSU Extension will end up paying him a lot of money or bringing him back. Howard wrote that Kleinjans learned that Moss and Miedema met with MSU Extension admin prior to the May election to raise concerns about a potential conflict of interest should Kleinjans win. Dirty, dirty. She says MSU Extension bowed to political pressure from these fucks. Howard, the attorney for Kleinjans, describes it as a violation of his First Amendment rights. Okay, that's it. Civil rights claim. MSU Extension says, we can't comment. They're fucked. They already know they're fucked. MSU said, no. You can't work for us and be employed as a member of Ottawa County. They advised me that they did not believe I could continue working effectively while also fulfilling the office of Ottawa County Commissioner to which I was recently elected. There was no job performance issue, no personnel or professional impropriety, nor any cause for MSU Extension's decision, Kleinjans wrote. He's seeking legal remedies. Moss, in a Tuesday email, said, "This is a matter between Mr. Kleinjans and MSU," Moss wrote. Well, you better hope so, fucker. Ottawa County's worked with MSU for over 100 years. We're excited to continue working with MSU in the years to come. That motherfucker. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Let's see. I'm just kind of glossing over the rest of it. All right. Let's hope for yet another lawsuit. Oh, my God. More trouble in paradise, to be sure. This is the latest thing. It's going to bubble up and rear its head, and we're going to have so much fun. Jesus. All right. I want to chat more about this, but I got to go. I got a, rehab appointment for my neck that you guys, that some of you think is bullshit. As always, you've been an amazing audience. I love you. Thank you. Till next time. I'll talk to you a little later on. Okay, have a good one, folks. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right. Welcome in. Hello to you all. Welcome into the Eric St. Show podcast, the Patreon bonus. Thank you so much for joining me. You may have a suspicion going through your brain that something happened at the end of the first podcast. Typically, with a late start like today, you would suspect that I may have fallen asleep. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're 100% right. Last night was weird because, well, when we were driving home, Pooh Bear, myself, puppy dogs, I started to, like, nod off, and I usually can sense that happen. I'm like, oh, boy, I'm getting tired. I've got minutes before we've got an issue. Pooh Bear, can you please fire up, make me a cup of coffee? That's her job, riding shotgun. She gets up, walks to the back, turns on the thing, fires up the coffee. Next thing you know, I got it. Air conditioning's blowing at me. I hold the coffee up. It's so goddamn hot, I can't drink it, and I need to slam it. I cool it down because the AC's blowing. I hold the cup up to the AC, and then boom, all at once. It's just gone. Wide awake. This was that way too late in the day. Typically, as late as I can go on coffee is 3:30 p.m., maybe 4. Anything later than that, it's pushing it. But I don't want to have to pull over and crash. I want to get home. Get home. And I'm like, wired. Fortunately, and then we actually got home and we get out of the camper and we hear there's a commotion in the backyard. The entire neighborhood is in the pool. We're one of those families that we announce to the neighborhood kids, come over and swim. We don't care. Every neighborhood, when you were growing up, there's one guy, typically it's the local pedophile, who does this. Well, that's us, except we're not pedophiles. At least we haven't been up to this point in our lives. I don't think that we're planning on being pedophiles. But the neighbors are in the pool. It's just full of kids. And mom and dad are there on the pool deck, hanging out, having a drink, watching their kids, which is cool. I appreciate that. And, you know, I would rather them be there than just not have any supervision. So that was cool. And, hey, how you doing? Good to see you, so-and-so and so-and-so. And then there's all, then like, dad, there's like a couple of families that are in the pool, kids. And one dad comes up and goes, hey, is this okay? I go, dude, seriously. I don't even go in this thing. I haven't been in this pool in years. This is totally fine. And not that that would, my point is nobody uses it. So it's totally fine. So the kids have the community pool now. Anyway, that has nothing to do with coffee and staying. I'm just, you know, that was the evening. So then I'm laying in bed. I got fucking hair in my mouth. You ever had that happen? So unnerving. When you sit there doing this, you think it's on the tip of your tongue? Fucking thing, it's there. You ever like go mouth on vag? Or maybe even mouth on dong if you're one of my gay audience members. And then like later on in the day, like half an hour later, there's like a floating pube. And you're like, what the fuck is going on here? Holy fucking shit. You pull it out. You're like, oh my God, it's a goddamn pube. Fucking shit. Anyway. Hold on, it's there. But definitely not a pube. There it is. Anyway, what the fuck is I going to say? So I'm laying in bed. It's like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. And then Diana rolls over and I'm laying. My eyes are wide open. She goes, are you going to go to sleep? I go, I can't sleep. And I had been staying up late the whole, for like several days of the weekend. Staying up late, and so that I was kind of like charged to stay up late. So then I get up 5:20, fell asleep at about 5:14. Do the show. Actually, I was tired before I started the show, but no big deal. I can soldier on. But by the time that first podcast gets done, then I'm like, oh, God damn it. Get boring work done. Pooh Bear's laying down with a puppy dog. I go, that's it. I'm getting in the bed. We got the air on, one of those window rattler air conditioners, so it's like fucking freezing in there. Oh, just good night. Boom. No way. No how. Unconscious. Unconsciousness. I'm gone. Wake up. And then, you know, when I wake up from the nap, I got the grogs. It's like I got to start over again. And I'm just laying there. I'm like, God, I don't want to get up. I don't want to stay in bed all. I want to stay in bed for the rest of the day. You can hear the neighbor kid. Neighbors are now back over, back in the pool, which is, again, totally cool. And if they ever hear this, I don't want them to think that. I don't, you know. Sometimes people listen to my podcast, and they don't know the level of intensity that I talk about shit. And so if I say anything podcast related to them, it's like gospel. So if I make a joke and they're not used to my jokes, they take it like seriously. I had that happen with this fucking dick family member who I fucking hate. Not really a family member. He married into this shit. You took everything I said as gospel and tried to convince me that I'm a psychopath. I'm like, you fucking idiot. How fucking stupid are you? Jesus Christ. All right. I'm going to Bosco's today. I'll see you there. Thank you to our pal Kenny for sending along a video, and he titled it Best Crash Ever. It's from Instagram, so you get the narrow view. But my man is driving his dash cam. You see the road, and you see him at the same time. It's from the spot on Instagram known as Crash Dashes. I see by the comments that a front tire blew on this poor guy's rig. I think they added the Alabama song, Play Me Some Mountain Music. But this is just nuts. Okay, here you go. Enjoy. Okay. Totally rolls the thing because the thing blows out. I can't tell if that's a work truck, like a pickup style truck or an 18 wheeler. No, that's not an 18 wheeler because I can see the back behind him. That looks to be some type of like sprinter vehicle. Maybe like a cube van, maybe. I don't know. This person says he fell asleep. That could have been a deadly ending. I'm glad it wasn't. He did not fall asleep. You hear the tire explode. He's taking evasive action, trying to steer that fucker back. How did he react with a woo? Like he's it sounds like he's on like a goddamn roller coaster. Like this is him on Top Thrill Dragster, Top Thrill 2. God damn. Yeah, he's okay. Stevie throws out, speaking of crashes, did you see Joe Martinez's Facebook page? Yeah, I was going to go with the joke. This was Joe Martinez today. He posted a picture of one of his vehicles got into a wreck, and I guess it was Joe Martinez was driving that thing. And he wrote, this is my Monday. And I go, oh, my God. So right away, I asked, is everybody okay? And he said, yeah, it was Teresa and myself. I guess Joe and Teresa were in the same vehicle, his lovely better half. And some weirdo shit went down. And so the rig is all fucked up, Joe's work vehicle. So then the next thing I thought was, all right, well, I think he's always bragging about being the best texter on the road. So my next question was, ticket? And he said, I was not at fault, his words. He said, some jackass over in fucking Granville or whatever pulled out in front of him. So I'm guessing it was the other guy's fault. No big deal. I mean, hey, you know, the truck, the vehicle can be replaced. That's what they tell you after you get into an accident. Okay? And you're fine. But the vehicle is all fucked up. And all you want to do is strangle somebody. And then someone says to you, the vehicle you can replace. You can't replace your life. They always have that look on their face like, Chris said his first thought was the same as mine. Were you texting? Were you texting and you hit the guy in front of you? But I don't think so. I have a headline that might be one of the more perfect headlines for something that I like to do every now and then. In fact, when I saw the headline, I wasn't sure about the result. Let me give you the punchline first. The punchline is she okay? The headline or setup is missing mother cut from 16-foot-long python after being swallowed alive. Now, I think that headline, I mean, I thought for a second if the missing mother was cut, because that's what it says, missing mother cut from 16-foot-long python after being swallowed alive. I'm like, well, when they cut her out, was she alive? I mean, I threw it into my brain as a joke, but I wasn't 100% sure. Turns out she's definitely dead. I don't know what pythons do, but I guess they constrict you to death before they consume you. So this poor chick in some place that's not America, that was her fate. I am opting not to look at the video because there actually is video that exists of the locals cutting open the snake to reveal dead mom. This happened in Indonesia. I cannot imagine. That might rank up there as one of the worst ways to go. You know, I mean, I think the best way to go is to be down looking at the Titanic and having the implosion happen or whatever the fuck they call it. Because it's remarkably faster than it takes for your brain to process it. This, you're getting constricted to death. The victim, identified only as Farida, had been walking through the forest near the home in Kalimpang, Indonesia. The python bit her. And then the fucking thing, she's got four kids, strangled her and ate her. The video obtained by TMZ is graphic. Viewer discretion is advised. I can't do it. Yeah. I don't have the right stuff to opt to click on that and watch that thing with you. I would guess that the majority of the people watching would rather not watch me watch a video, and you could see too, of them hacking open the python like fucking Han Solo cutting into the Tauntaun and finding Farida. The woman had gone missing Thursday night, did not return home, which led to a search effort. The husband found her belongings, which made him suspicious. I guess that's like common enough that you're like, uh-oh, bet you a snake got her. Yeah, that's common enough that, you know, the second they find the belongings, they're like, oh, shit. I mean, if that were to happen in Michigan, they would just think that some rapist took you. I mean, outside of like maybe a bear, even that would be ridiculous. The bear doesn't want to make you a meal. I guess it could. The villagers searched the area. They soon spotted a python, very tired, with a large belly. And they're like, oh, shit, there she is. They agreed to cut open the python's stomach. As soon as they did, Farida's head burst forth, immediately visible. Can you imagine? It'd be like, pfft, and there she is. Do you think anybody there like said, is she okay? Or took her pulse? She was fully clothed within the snake. These creatures have dozens of sharp, curved teeth, which they use to latch hold of their prey before squeezing them to death and swallowing them whole. They eat pigs, monkeys, and other mammals. This is the fifth woman to be swallowed by a python in the country since 2017. That's too many. You know, if this happened once every 100 years, that's one thing. But my God, why would you ever venture anywhere in an area where since 2017, 5 people have been eaten whole? Nick says, bring the gore. Jeremy says, bad news for that guy. Chris adds, did they say, and I thought these pythons smelled bad on the outside. Those who know, know. Jeremy says, do you think her head popped out like a jack-in-the-box? No, I think it was more like, just kind of like, sloughed out. Like maybe you like pop a zit. And a little bit of like that white juice just flies out. I think that's what happened. Now listen, on this video, okay, look, I'm not showing you this. I am not going to show you this. It's blurred. So I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't like, you know, tell you one thing and then do the other.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Emoji moment from Mark, who writes, I just want to thank you for making GLP-1s affordable. What would have been over $1,000 a month is just $99 a month with Mochi. Money shouldn't be a barrier to healthy weight. 3 months in, and I have smaller jeans and a bigger wallet. You're the best. Thanks, Mark. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Mark is a Mochi member compensated for his story.
But that's the setting right there. Now, when you click on this, it's not blurred. I feel bad for the snake, too, in this. So these two dudes right here are lifting Farida out of the snake. She's in there. And look at these guys. They got their cell phones. They're, like, shooting video. Oh, my God. Fucking brutal, man. What a way to go. Ugh. Natural selection, I reckon, says Chris. I don't know about that. There just happens to be a lot of... I mean, she might be the smartest person in the village. All right. Thank you to Patrick for sending me that we have celestial excitement with the strawberry moon. I don't know what the fuck that even means or why they call it that. I do know that because we have the sun just past summer solstice, means we just started summer. The way it is when the sun sets and the moon rises. Let's see, make sure I'm right on this. Oh, no, this is old. Fuck me. Never mind. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed the strawberry moon. 9:08 on Friday. I'm pretty, yeah, that's an old story. My bad. I should have checked. I suck. Hawk Tua has already gotten someone fired. And there's been some rumors that Hawk Tua lady has lost her job as a teacher. None of that is substantiated. I don't even know if they know even who she is. And first of all, if she ever got fired for something as like having fun and making a joke on a stupid video, then we're lost. Okay. How much fun was she? Out having a good time with her pals. She's life of the party. She makes a silly joke. Everybody laughs. That's the end of it. Well, there's a NASCAR team, small team, and the social media guy wanted to post that the New Hampshire Speedway was closed due to rain and they wouldn't be doing the NASCAR race, the Xfinity race. So the social media director for this sports team, this NASCAR team, did this. And it's just an image of the track with her face doing Hawk Tua, implying that the moisture on the track, the race is canceled. And they fucking fired the guy who did that. What? That's what happened. How stupid, man. This is what I'm talking about. People just have some fun in the culture. And then everybody loses their shit. The guy who posted it announced that he got fired. You can see right here, this is the exchange. Well, boys, I went out on top. What do you mean by that? I've been removed from JD Socials. Didn't meet his beliefs. Had to delete it. This person wrote, this is why we can't have nice things. Honestly, isn't being a little edgy exactly what a small team should be doing on socials? Good try. I thought it was pretty funny. This guy writes, damn, that's too bad. It was timely and harmless. Ridiculous and unfortunate. This guy writes, the fact that a man loses his job over something everyone is going to forget about in 72 hours. Chris seconds that. I think I mentioned it. There's speculation Hawk to a girl lost her job. I don't think that's true. I think that's just a myth. Brian here writes, there's three types of people. People who think that's funny, parentheses, cool. People who think that's bad, parentheses, dumb and boring. People who don't get the joke, probably happier because they're not terminally online like we are. Oh, my God. Steven writes, cancel culture strikes again. Rob wrote, do we really want our series, the racing series, to be associated with such crude innuendo? New fans are highly turned off by this, recent studies have shown. I think someone is being sarcastic. I sincerely hope so. This person writes, deserve to be fired way over the line. They should hold his last paycheck until he apologizes. You can't be serious. Nah, it's gross and vulgar. Yeah, you know what? Sign me up for gross and vulgar because I find that funny. Gross and vulgar is what some folks in Paris supposedly were planning on doing because the river where they're going to be doing the open water swimming in Paris for the Olympics is fucking filthy. I remember in Beijing, same thing. I actually know one of the people who was swimming in the waters of Beijing for the triathlon. Remember the name Hunter Kemper? I hadn't talked to him in years. Olympic triathlon team member. I think he competed in three or four of those. I think the highest he finished was eighth. Well, they're doing it again in Paris this time. Well, the River Seine, I think is how it's pronounced, is got a lot of runoff in it, high levels of E. coli and bacteria. Like a lot more than you should be exposed to. So that's a little gross. But what are the people in Paris going to do because they don't like the fact? I'm not sure what they're complaining about. Are they complaining on behalf of the athletes, or they just don't like the fact that their river has a high level of E. coli and makes them look bad? Okay, whatever. Supposedly, the word on the street is that there's been a lot of rain there, and that's when that happens, you get a lot of shit in the water. I know that's the case here in Grand Rapids. This big fucking river, if it rains like crazy, you get a lot of shit in the river, and then they tell you, don't go near the river. Frankly, I don't want to be near any body of water where regularly they say, don't go near the river. I mean, even if they say, you can now go near the river, I'm still in a body of water that a short time earlier, they didn't want me to go near it because there was too much shit in it. All it means when the warning is lifted is that there's less shit. That means you can actually get the shit in your body and it won't hurt you. Yeah, I don't want to be in anything that used to have shit in it. Like a lot of it. I would rather just not know. I'm just going to avoid the river, entirely. Chris says, correct, it's where the wastewater gets dumped generally. So when the wastewater gets dumped in there, then they're relying on distance and time and the feces to become more and more diluted as they put, once they're done putting the wastewater in. And then eventually that shit is going to wind up in the lake. I'm just going to go swim in the pool or maybe on the cover of David Lee Roth's album Crazy from the Heat when he's in those super clear waters. I'll go to, Torch Lake right near Traverse City is one of the cleanest lakes on the planet. I'm just going to go to swim in Torch Lake. Anything that's brown, I'm probably going to avoid that lake. And if you're an Olympic athlete, you're like, God damn it. This is the best we could do is swim in a shit river. I'm not entirely sure what the locals in Paris, the Parisians, are doing. But their plan was and I don't know if they carried through with it, was to put their ass over the river and take a shit in the river. Like, actually. This started as a joke. Hashtag J'ai chez dans la Seine le 23 June, which translates to I shit in the Seine on June 23rd. A Google search for that phrase directed people to the website represented by a shit emoji. So basically, you open it up and Lizzo's there. The site repeats the phrase and aims a taunt squarely at French President Emmanuel Macron and Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo, who have both vowed that they would go for a swim before the games to prove the Seine is safe. Well, that's not going to do anything. If you go and swim in shit water, then we need to test you to see how much shit you have in you. So that's just stupid. So now the locals, they even, they've calculated when they would need to shit in the river for the shit to end up in the heart of the capital at noon yesterday. Now, I don't know how many people actually did this. But my God. I guess they've spent $1.5 billion trying to clean that river. Enough to make it swimmable. Swimmable. The wet weather complicated the efforts. High level of E. coli bacteria. So, all right, they're going to swim in shit. I don't know. Is this the only place where you can do it? Is that goddamn river? There's plenty of places to swim in Paris. Why do you have to do it in the river? I don't know. Seems like a fucking wasted effort. Nick, who's kind of a hick, he says we used to tube the brown ass Grand River all the time. Chris drops one in on us, literally. We need to send Megan there after her 7-day dump. Oh, my God. That's right. A couple of weeks ago, she revealed that she was on a trip. And she made it seem like it was totally normal to shit for the first time in 7 days. We're all like, what? She goes, oh, yeah, you know, because I was traveling. I'm like, well, people travel all the time. They still shit. Oh, yeah, but I was eating a lot of Buc-ee's. Well, that would actually increase the movement there. Oh, no, it's perfectly fine. 7 days later, she takes a horrendous... Can you imagine that the stench in the household? The fact that Megan would be putting her ass over the edge of the river and shitting one of her 7-day shits. You know how long that would have taken? They're like, my God, this woman is still shitting. So that's what, that is your Olympic update from your old pal EZ. Just know that when you see the open water swimming in the Olympics, all those people are ingesting shit. I used to swim in this lake in Jenison here called 8th Avenue. And I call it Lake Mexico because I've talked about this before. Every time I go there, there's Mexicans swimming there. So that's what it became known as. So I'd get in my wetsuit and I go swim in this fucking lake. And somebody told me that Lake Mexico, 8th Avenue Lake, is just full of shit. And that was at a time in my life when I was in that whole triathlon thing. So I just needed open water, and that was the closest place. I wish I hadn't done that. You know how much Mexican shit I got inside of my body? I don't know if that's true. I don't think the Mexicans went there and took a shit in it. I think that it just got a lot of wastewater runoff. But anyway, that's my little relatable anecdote. Chris says, Megan's seven-day shit might have been a two-flusher. Why did I have a hard time saying that? Can you imagine if she was in the RV and did that and Diana had to clean out Megan's seven-day shit with her hand? God damn, I still can't believe that happened. Okay, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, I'm off to Bosco's. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. That's it for me. Till next time, have a good one, folks. Thank you and bye-bye. King Potster is here. And I wear that term with pride, or I wear that badge with honor. No one says wears that term with pride. But if I sense that there is a need for a pot to be stirred, I'm going to stir that pot. If somebody's going to stir a pot and I'm going to be the one stirred, I'm going to return the favor. I'm referring to the Kelly Cheese divorce saga. She has decided now is the time to be loose with the lips, and talked about it on her little show yesterday. She talked about it today. I know who her husband is, ex-husband is. He's a prominent lawyer. We have mutual friends. And I know how to get a hold of them with just put the digits in and send it along. Ross, easy. We got to talk. Hang up. He called me just before the start of the free podcast. And now I went ahead and got the video. I don't even know if I should play it. I mean, I could play it, but I don't know if I can. Here right now, I don't know if my screen will allow me to do it. It might. Okay, come on here. Come on, easy. What are you doing, big fella? I don't think I can right now. That's too bad. Anyway, last night on her show, she made a comment about, yeah, I'm not married anymore. I'm divorced. He left me and moved out west, and I didn't want to do that. Simple as that. Now, I would think that if it went just like that, that you'd just say, oh, well, that is pretty much how it went. But when I spoke with him today and texted him, that does not appear to be the case. And that is not my story to tell. That would be up to him. You see, I'm smart. When it comes to being a number one pot stirrer, you have to know what you can stir and what you can't. When Kelly went public, okay, I can stir that pot. All right, I can mix that shit up. I'm speaking with dude. Yes, I'm speaking with him, but I'm not willing to give you the scoop as to what we're talking about. We're not there yet. I gotta earn that. Okay, now what Kelly did, that's a default earning. Now it's talked about publicly, thus the public talks about it, and I am part of the public. It just so happens I also have a small podcast, which that is the subject matter quite frequently on my show. It is already being bandied about on the very, very popular 20,000 person strong Freebird Outwing Show fan page. That your old pal EZ has gotten into the business of pot stirring. This person writes, uh-oh. Oh, Lord, EZ was just on, and he has reached out to Ross to get his side. I feel this might get ugly from what he was implying. Love you, Kelly Cheese. You're a strong woman, and you will get through this. You are my spirit animal. Much love. Time out. Time out. That is from... who said that? Kristen Sipes Howell. You don't know her. You don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. All we know is that she said, yeah, he left me. Moved out west. That's it. Now, he has had a side that is that would take exception to that. But I'm not privy to say that. And I don't know him. All right. And I don't know her. By the way, Kenny and Maureen are having an annoying goddamn conversation again. So I am absolutely a pot stirrer. Now, where this is going to result, that's up to my new pal, Ross. All right? I am hoping he comes to me and talks with me on the show. Now I would have Hurricane Ashley in my corner. Coleman Lutz, which is the husband, the ex-husband of Greg's wife, pal and confidant, and Ross Plant, ex-husband of Kelly Cheese. Not to mention my numerous conversations with producer Joe's ex, Rachel, and about five other women who came out of the closet after all that shit hit the fan. EZ is in touch with the other side of the story always. I will never not be. I simply just ask questions. People decide whether or not they want to talk to me. They know that as much of a cock as I am, I'll shoot them straight. All right. How about we talk about something different? Like guy getting hit in the face with a remote-controlled airplane. This is an incredible video. I saw it yesterday and sent it off to my son to watch it. And now it's making the rounds and getting even more popular. So there's a guy standing there, and the remote-controlled airplane's flying in at like 7 or 8,000 miles an hour. And it's just going to hit this guy right in the fucking face. Here we go.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! Oh, no! Oh, my God!
Oh! Oh!
How the fuck did that even happen?
Oh!
Look it. There it is right there. Right about to hit him directly square in the head. What an incredible, incredible sequence. Wow.
Oh!
Jeez.
I need more information on this one. I got to know what happened because I'm going to say that for all intents and purposes, this guy is either dead or like on life support. Megan asks, is he okay? Maureen asks, is he okay? I don't know. I don't know if he's okay. I mean, I know I wouldn't be. My God. Megan says, my dad used to build and fly RC planes. He wouldn't let me back to the fields because I would laugh loudly when they crashed. Oh, yeah, that's worth it. But my God, hit him in the fucking face. All right. I got some good news, bad news about dogs. Now, you cannot get just one story. Like if you were to say, yeah, we only want the bad story about the dogs. This is a triggering story for me. And I'm not even going to give all the details of the bad story. But it's a package deal. If you want to hear about these dogs, two spots in the U.S. where it happened, you have to hear about both stories. So I need to ask you as an audience, do you want to hear the bad one first or do you want to hear the good one? You can't just have the good one. Kenny asked me, did you get the video I sent with the dog flinging the rubber bands at stuff? That was amazing. Yeah, that was a good one too. Not the one I'm talking about here, though. So we got numerous dogs saved in one story. And then a number of... All right, I'm getting people say no bad stories. I can't say the bad story. Chris says, EZ, the flow is looking poofy this afternoon. No, 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 I got to get a haircut. There's no question. If I were to try to put product in this hair, I would. You have to use an entire thing of fop. All right, so I'm going to have to make an executive decision here and decide that I am not going to tell the story, the bad story. I think too many people would get upset at me. All right, so I'm going to amend that. Forget the bad story, just the good story. The good story is every dog in this story is okay. There were 38 hounds, beagles, treading water in the lake. I guess in some place, I don't know where the fuck it was, doesn't matter, somewhere in the U.S., and I got pictures to prove this. Excuse me, my ribs hurt bad. Sometimes I can't even breathe. Pulled some muscle in my intercostals. They're having a fox hunt. All these fucking idiots get together with their dogs, and they had 38 contestants, dogs, beagles, and they put a number on it, and they go have a fox hunt. But some asshole deer, the dogs that were running after the foxes, they saw the deer. So all 38 veer off. They're running as a pack towards the goddamn deer. Well, the deer goes, fuck this shit, and he goes running in the lake. And he's swimming away. And the dogs are swimming after him. And they get to, like, the middle of this lake, and they're all fucked. So now the dogs are looking at the deer, and they're like, fuck you, deer. And the deer's like, yeah, fuck you. Well, these fishermen were out, and they're like, in the middle of this lake, and they're like, what the fuck? Why do I hear dogs barking? And they look way off in the distance, get their fucking binoculars out, and they see little dog heads bobbing up on the water. They're like, what the fuck? There's a bunch of fucking dogs out there swimming. Arr, 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 arr. Hounds. Well, let's go get them. So they got this fucking bass boat, and they go like trolling up to this 38 dogs and start pulling the dogs up out of the water. And so they've got 38 dogs on their bass boat. And they got numbers on them, you know, for the fox hunt. I've never seen a fox hunt. I didn't even know that was a real thing. And they go back to shore and all these distressed owners like, where's my dog? They come in, there's a whole fucking love boat full of dogs. The deer was out there too. The article didn't say whether or not they saved the deer. I don't know if they'd be able to grab a deer and put it up on the boat. So maybe that, it didn't say what happened to the deer. But let's get to the evidence. I think there's like, there might even be a news story that goes with this. So, and I just stumbled upon it. So bear with me. There's an ad that plays. So if you're hearing something, that's just your old pal EZ. Okay, you probably won't hear that. Okay. Fishing crew rescues 38 dogs treading water. This is in Grenada, Mississippi, is where this went down. Okay.
These two guys, this one's named Bob Gist of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and his friend Brad Carlisle of Covington, Tennessee, they met up in Memphis and traveled down together to Grenada Lake for a fishing trip.
There's some good fishing down there.
Yeah, well, they caught more than they bargained for, let me tell you that. Shortly after getting on the lake, they noticed there are a bunch of dogs in the water. Treading water. So the hounds all wore expensive radio collars with white paint on them while they treaded water about a mile offshore. They're just out there.
Those guys decided they pulled
27 dogs out of the water and took them to shore because they couldn't get any more in.
They took 27, and then the ones that were all black, they left them in the water and came back for them.
Then they went back and got 11.
It's a bad joke. 11, actually, it's a good joke.
11 other dogs, a total of 38 dogs they pulled out of.
So they had to pull 27. They go, yeah, you guys stay here. And then they had to, that's fucking scary.
The water. So you got to, what Why? Are that many dogs? Why are yeah. those dogs? Well, apparently.
I was thinking, what are those guys using for bait?
Well, the dogs were on a fox hunt in Grenada. I didn't even know they did that in Grenada. And they chased a deer, though. And the deer, what did the deer do? The deer jumped into the Grenada Lake, and the dogs followed and got about a mile offshore and couldn't get back. And so they treaded water for about 45 minutes to an hour. Their owners didn't have a boat to go get them. So all I could do was stand there and whistle and try and get the dogs to come swim back their way.
So the lesson to be learned here, if you go on a fox hunt, take a boat.
Shut up.
Oh, my God.
The city.
All right, hang on. What the fuck is going on here? Yeah, so they ended up saving the day, these guys. Another shot of them in the boat. That's the best boat ever. Full of dogs. Oh, my God. Imagine the sound of 38 beagles howling on a little boat. Oh, my God. What? My neighbor on the other side of the development has a goddamn beagle. Oh, horrible. O'Neill has a deep, deep hound bark. Have you ever heard him? But he's part beagle. Beagle and shepherd. And it's outrageous. We just immediately started calling dogs on the boat, grabbing their collars and putting them on. When they brought the dogs to shore, we had to pretty much grab them off of the boat because they were so scared that they would have to go back out in the water. It was terrible. The owner of the dogs tried to pay the fishermen, but they refused to take the reward. Yeah, that's what you do. 38 dogs. He saved them all. Here's another image. Hello, puppy. Hello, baby dog. It looks like they got a great life, doesn't it? These dogs on a foxhound, they get numbers painted on them. Fuck. That seems horrible to me. I feel bad when I take my dogs out for a walk and it's just a little bit too warm. Maybe those dogs find it enjoyable. I don't know. Okay, I will not tell you the other story. It is so bad. Can I just say that the other story out of Austin, Texas, features words like, I hope they didn't suffer. And something like this is really gut-wrenching. And what are the penalties for this if they find out who did this? And this is a horrendous offense. If we could locate who did this, they would be charged criminally. Frankly, I don't know why I thought it might be a good idea to tell this story. Jen writes, hunting dogs have the life, actually. We have a breeder locally. They are treated really well. And Maureen says, thank you for sparing us the sad story. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. We got to keep it positive here. Rob wants me to tell this story. Now, Rob is, I don't understand that. I mean, that's out of left field. I thought that Rob was way more sensitive than that. So you got all these people that are saying, no, 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 don't do it. Don't do it. And Rob is saying, no, you got to tell this story. Look, I have a unique ability to take horrible stories and make them funny. So I'm just throwing that out there. This might be something that you want me to talk about. But then again, maybe not. It honestly was one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. So I'm still not going to, but if the people that didn't want me to talk about it suddenly say, easy, we now want you to talk about this story. It's puppy related, dog related. Okay, this is what I'll do. I will, in the links, or then in the show notes, I will write, here is the story that I could not talk about. All right. Rob says, yeah, show code. If it's uncomfortable, good. That's the point. Yeah, I know, Rob, but I put a lot of weight on audience members' opinions, especially on the Patreon. And there's a bunch that it's kind of like when it comes to this avenue here, I think it might be a good idea to heed the words of this tribunal, if you will. So I'll put in the show notes, unmentionable story that was not talked about on this podcast. I see our old pal Nick in the arena says, have you heard the other radio gossip? E-Rock out at Compound Media, and possibly network is shutting down, or possible merger with Gavin. I did not hear that. That makes me sad for E-Rock's sake. I hope that is not true. Well, I think it is true. All right. Let me end with this. This is a story about a guy in a casino in Singapore. And he's at the table at the Marina Bay Sands Casino. That's a Las Vegas company. They opened a casino up somewhere in Singapore. And this dude wins. He hits a jackpot, and he wins $4 million at the craps table. $4 million. onlookers shot video of him at the table about 15 seconds after he won. Okay? Here's that video of the guy 15 seconds after he won $4 million. That's his wife on her knees. She's picking up the chips too, but screaming at him. I don't speak the language, but this guy got to enjoy his $4 million for that 15 seconds because he fucking died. Dies almost immediately. He has a fucking grabber due to the shock and the excitement of winning $4 million. You heard her. She said, wow, 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 wow. That's get the fuck up in Singapore. What's the language called? I don't know. Is it Singaporeese? Yeah, he died. How come no one is administering CPR to the guy? How come people are shooting video? I'll never understand people. In any culture, that's the thing to do. Someone drops dead, do nothing. Shoot video. What is wrong with these fucking people? Wins $4 million, drops dead. My God. So I was doing more research on it, trying to get more out of the story. Not so fast. There's a conflicting story that he might not be dead. Many users saying that he died. However, casino.org, reported that he's alive and recovering. It happened at the iconic casino operated by Las Vegas Sands. It says here the man received immediate medical care from the casino operators. I didn't see that. And now they're saying that he is alive. Well, I certainly hope so. A research by the Gambling Commission found that 5% of betting addicts in a study tried to kill themselves over a year. I don't know why they threw that into the article. I choose to believe that he died because that's more spectacular. I hope he didn't die, but I think he did die, you know, for the sake of the story. Let me just put it this way. If he died, that would still be like a fairy tale story compared to the story that you don't want me to talk about. I can say that if I'm walking down the street and, or if I opened up my front door and there's a bag of human heads in my front door, I would be less shocked than the specifics of the story that you don't want me to talk about. All right. When it comes to the lottery thing, does a morning wife, like, get the money? I mean, why do I have a feeling that no one's going to get that money? Kenny says, same reason why all my neighbors were recording with their cell phones last night when I was the only one calling the cops. Kenny adds, is it show code to tell you I had to call 911 yesterday? Well, I think it's goddamn interesting that you called 911 yesterday. Pellerito's probably going to do a Freedom of Information Act request and get that audio. What the hell happened? In 8,000 words or less. Did you happen to witness an accident or something? My God, we got to know this. We'll come back to that for tomorrow's show. How does that sound? Because I'm out of time right now. Pooh Bear's banging on my door saying, let's go do things. Thank you. As always, you were a fantastic audience. The world's number one pot stirrer is leaving you. I'll talk to you later. Have a great one. Tomorrow is Dear Meathead, so if you got a question for Dad, remember, send it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. All right, folks, thank you. Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.